Games from the Cellar, the board gaming podcast.
Gotta say, Steven, I'm loving this new intro.
I'm digging it too.
It's got a bite to it.
Yeah. All right, Ed, please introduce us to this monstrosity that we're about to play.
This monstrosity is the Deep Rock Galactic board game.
Where's Rock the and candy
Stone?
Bone?
You're supposed to do the Rock and Stone thing.
Rock and Stone.
Rock
to all
and
my...
Stone.
Rock. Do I hear a Rock and Stone?
There you go. I don't
to
know
all
much
my
about
fellow miners out there.
I don't know much about the game, but I know that you're supposed to say that.
Yes. Yes. Rock and Stone to the bone. Anyway, this is the Deep Rock Galactic board game. It's been in my basement since I drunkenly purchased it off Kickstarter maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it so you says had on, it for 2 years?
It yes. says on Board Game it? Geek that it was 2022.
So when it came just, out?
And you when it came out.
Okay. Cracked the plastic tonight.
Correct. Well, I haven't had anybody to play Deep Rock Galactic so with until a, I met you fine a, fellows.
It's a brand new game, but it is not a brand new game.
Correct.
Very good.
It is new to me. And to us.
So apparently there are some interesting Easter eggs, I guess you would say, in the rule book. Why don't you explain that one real quick to us? Into the mic.
All right. So I was looking through the rule book, and in the credits section where it's going over the producers and directors and designers, they have portraits. And over each portrait, someone has lovingly photoshopped a beard model from the video game.
Kill everything without a beard.
They're luscious, ridiculous beards. It's fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, I suspect... All right, so a little background. These two, Sam and Ed, have played this video game extensively, and John and I haven't. And I
had not even heard of it.
I had not either until Ed told me he's got a board game. I didn't actually realize it was a video game until today. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those episodes where there's going to be a lot of inside jokes that me and John,
do not
a.k.a.
understand.
The old people, aren't going to get.
Well, I mean, really, the only joke you need to get is Rock and Stone. Mm-hmm. Maybe for Carl.
Yeah.
For Carl.
Carl's a legendary, like...
Possibly missing dwarf.
Lazy person?
No, he's...
Because that's our Carl. Our Carl is a lazy person.
Lazy Carl.
No, we don't know. No one knows anything about Carl.
He's
some sort of
mythic aspirational figure who, achieved Herculean feats and vanished somewhere.
All the horizontal.
All while incredibly drunk, probably. Right. Yeah. So
sort of like a Stakhanovite, sort of thing.
That's a big word, Ed.
That was a massive word.
I haven't taken an ACT or an SAT in years.
This is like political history. This is like Soviet Union, like make-believe, a guy that like carried up like 10 tons of coal in a day because, Stalin had his guys working in the mines all the time.
Paul Bunyan-esque?
Exactly.
Paul Bunyan-esque.
John Henry story.
Didn't even have to go Soviet.
I know, but I did.
He is wearing red.
Wait a minute.
Thus we done, comrades.
So it's a hex board.
Yes.
And we kill things.
Hex board, you kill things, you explore the caves.
Gather minerals. Hopefully drink a couple beers.
Watch your ammo.
So our team, we spent 40,000 points making this team. Mm-hmm. Because we're dwarves with guns.
No, this isn't Warhammer, John.
Yeah, you're mistaken.
This is Deep Rock.
Let me take another look at the board in front of me.
It looks suspiciously like Warhammer.
Yeah.
I don't think it is, though.
Fighting Tyranids, but we're not.
We're fighting...
Glyphids. Not Tyranids, Glyphids.
Wow.
They're a different alien bug.
Yeah, I never did 40K. I did regular Warhammer.
It's on a different
planet. I was
always
Skaven. Was there a Skaven analog?
There is actually not a Skaven analog in 40K.
Hang on. I'm gonna blow your minds right now. The humans are the Skaven in 40K.
Oh, that's a cop-out.
No, I'm saying.
No, but thematically, they don't match Skaven. Decker was a replicant.
I think they do. They ravenously swarm all over the world, strip them of their minerals in a relentless pursuit.
No, that's a stretch.
Pretty compelling.
Yeah, we're getting off the reservation.
Some people say it's the HRUD, but I don't think so.
So, Deep Rock Galactic.
So, okay.
Cooperative game.
Yes, it's a cooperative game. Instead of talking about how cool the video game is for 5 minutes, I'm going to talk about, even though we've only just kind of set up the first mission, there's some stuff here that I think is really cool. Specifically, the way this map is laid out, they're trying to model how the fact that you have to use terrain, you have to manipulate the terrain to complete the objective, right? And they've done this because we have a hex board in front of us. It's all black, and then there's hex tiles that we put out to represent the terrain. And there's pieces that aren't connected to the part of the map that we're on. So to get to them, we have to dig through the walls, represented by placing down new hexes, which I think is pretty neat.
Okay, so I get this now. So basically there are blank hexes between two...
There's islands of space
right now. Two groupings of hexes.
You see this line here?
And to be able to go across, we're going to place these little singleton hexes.
Yes, to...
To build essentially
to show
bridges.
We have tunneled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're tunneling through the wall to get to that cave.
Oh, yeah, because these are walls. These aren't voids.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the voids are the actual void-looking
parts. Yeah, it's a little confusing because there's the black spaces that are part of the full board are cavern walls. The black spaces that are little mini tiles set on top are pits. That we still have to figure out how to cross or get around, but...
I get it, but it doesn't... You know, it's not a natural thing.
No.
It's fine.
It's fine. I like, mechanically, I like it. I agree it's a little weird, but I'm not sure that there's a better way to represent it unless you really want to just go into... put little like cavern walls around everything, and that feels like it'd be a pain.
Mm-hmm. Or not have the back of the big board or the big
have
board.
It be black, right?
That's true.
It should be rock colored, and then the voids should be a different color.
I know in the video game there are 5 or 6 different environments you can go into that all have different effects and things that can happen. I wonder if that's represented here as well. In which case. You couldn't have one rock color because it wouldn't work between like the ice biome and the volcano biome.
And like maybe it'll be more action points to break through different kinds of rock as we move forward.
I mean, I'm just
spitballing.
Yeah.
So we show up, we kill things, we
collect the minerals,
take gems and stuff.
Yes, mission control. And that's it.
And then we get in our little pod and we like take back off again, right?
Right, and give all the money to our corporate overlords.
I do like the way this actually works is you're deployed into the planet's crust via drop pod. You get out of the drop pod and it leaves. It flies away. And they don't send pickup until you've completed the mission. So it's really...
can't help but think that we should be...
Burning your boats behind you.
So. Yeah, the
we
only
should
way...
be contacting our union representative.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Poor union representation in the far future.
We are part of a union. There's
they
posters
are.
Up on the space rig. It's not a very good one, I think.
Or this is as safe as they can make it.
I say that, I think there's a line about how, because of the union, we get to keep the gold that we mine.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, as dwarves, we decided that keeping the gold was more important than always having an exit, which is
sounds
probably
dwarfish.
In character. Yeah, we're literally diving too greedily and too deep. And... You to know, be honest, I think that really, that's part of what makes the game so much fun, is it's very thematic, even though you're like space dwarves fighting aliens with guns.
But you're talking about the video game.
Yes.
Yes. And
so the only
hopefully
we're
the same will
the
convey
game.
That element as well.
How could we find that out, Ed?
I think we could probably do it by playing.
That's a thought.
I think we could probably just talk about what it might be like to play.
In true dwarven tradition, less talk, more action.
All right,
let's
it.
Play the game.
Okay, so we don't typically do hot takes. We generally like to play games before we review them on the show, but...
A few times, yeah.
You keep saying that, but I feel like I've definitely played games for the first time.
You have.
I definitely
But have. They've been games that we've played.
Okay, so it's not unusual for me to do this. It is unusual for you two.
Yes.
You
likewise,
two
Sam.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Like, for the most part, every game that we've reviewed, at least two people at the table have played.
Yeah, and some of them many
some
times.
And some of them are new to other people at the table. So, for instance...
Wings for the Baron.
Oh, Power Grid.
Power Grid. Okay, there we go.
So, anyway, We don't typically do hot takes because we like to have a good feel for the game before we talk about it. I thought this was a good idea because Ed and Sam had the context for with the video game and could speak to at least that aspect of it.
And oddly enough, we have context as well between Jaws of the Lion and Adventure Tactics. Mm-hmm. Is that the right name?
Yeah, I mean, so it's
we've been doing a lot of crawling lately.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of games that kind of fill this niche, like also Pathfinder, the adventure game, which we used to play back
with the
in
cards.
The day.
Yeah.
It was all cards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Level 7 Omega Squadron, yeah, which you guys haven't played, but I have. It's very similar to this, except that there's the human player running the bad guy.
Even Descent Road to Legend.
Well, but okay, so now we're talking some ancient history that we haven't played. What I'm saying is no. Adventure Tactics and Jaws of the Lion, we have played like in the last...
Recently.
2 weeks, 3 weeks. Right.
I got to be honest, I feel like there was a lot more energy going on tonight than there ever was for Jaws of the Lion.
Mm-hmm. So the point I was going to make
undoubtedly.
Is... We don't typically do the hot takes because we want to have like a good understanding of the game. This game, and I don't know if it was the context that you guys brought from the video game, but it seemed like everything was pretty damn straightforward. There were a couple of like rules that we had to look up for some of the specifics on the monsters, but I mean, it's a pretty, I want to say basic, but not in like the bad way, like basic as in it's easy to pick up.
Straightforward. Yeah, I think straightforward is a great word.
Straightforward. And it's intuitive. The motion makes sense.
And it begs the comparison to Jaws of the Lion, which we just recorded on. We've played five scenarios of over 4 weeks. And I already would rather play this, hands down, any day over Jaws of the Lion.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, Jaws of the Lion was so formulaic, almost. Like, it was much more complicated than this.
Yeah.
I think. But it was just, this was much more vibrant, I feel like, and much more...
I like that term.
I mean, yeah.
And more dynamic.
Fun. It was more fun.
There was dynamism.
It was more fun, is what it was.
Yeah, there was crazy stuff happening.
And screaming and yelling things going wrong.
We thought we were
going
to make it. Like, two turns before the end of the game, we thought we were all going to die.
Yeah.
And we were hoping to get one guy out.
Yeah, we were hoping to get one guy in the drop pod.
And we got all four.
Everybody made it.
Crazy cards and stupid... funny things that happened, and we just managed to wiggle our way out of it.
The lucky dice rolls, it was crazy.
Right.
And I didn't ever feel that way when we were playing Jaws the Lion.
Like, we steamrolled the first scenario. Like, the first scenario, we completely just wiped the floor.
It was very quick and easy.
But the second one, the moment you opened that, like, second little cave encounter, because at least on this map,
There's stuff that you don't see until you open it up.
Hidden rooms that once you open them up, monster closets.
Whoops.
Right?
And right away, I think that's a significant departure from Jaws of the Lion, where at least the scenarios we played, Jaws of the Lion, everything on the map was predefined. You knew what was going to be there. You knew what was going to jump out at you. Whereas this, the missions have bits and pieces that are predefined, but there's a collection of tiles that are just... They're blank on one side.
Yeah, they're
and
upside
so
down. You can't see.
You randomly distribute them. You don't know what's there until you actually dig through it in the mission. The next time you do that mission, it could be something different.
Yeah. And that's what we talked about when we were reviewing Jaws of the Lion last time.
Yeah.
That one of the things that was missing was there were no surprises. And we talked about maybe we need to leave that second part of the map not even visible until we get to it.
Actually, that's basically a direct comparison here, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure
is. This is a map that... you don't know what's in there. You could open it up and it could be terrible because it's just the thing spitting out more bad guys that you have to fight through to deal with.
Yep.
Or you could open it up and find a treasure trove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so on top of that as well, the bad news deck, as you usually call these, you know, the event deck in this in Deep Rock Galactic, is it adds a bunch of uncertainty because not every turn are the bad guys going to attack, but on top of that, you've got bad guys that drop in on your head, like from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then you're constantly spawning in new creatures that are either the basic little grunts or they could be these specialized guys that do ridiculous things. Like, these guys have swords for arms, and they're just like, you know, like Edward Scissorhands over there, like slashing up John.
Slicing me up.
And you know, with Jaws of the Lion, everything is predefined.
3 points of damage.
Yeah, like you're never going to get like...
move to.
At least in the five that we the five scenarios we played, you're not going to get extra guys just like dropping on the board. And in Jaws of the Lion, the bad news deck was, oh, the guys are going to attack you.
Yeah.
And in various ways. It just, it wasn't as impactful as the combination of the event deck and then, is it the swarm deck?
Yes. Yeah, so the event deck determines what random thing happens into your turn.
Yeah.
The swarm deck determines what bad guys spawn and where.
Yeah.
If there's a swarm.
Yeah, and the combination of those two things brought a dynamism that, like, really just gave you that uncertainty that makes games fun. And the random events, you know, it's like, yeah, a guy falls from the ceiling, but, oh, I'm actually close enough to John where I can shoot it down before it actually gets to him. And there's all these little things like that that just made it a much more interesting experience.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And sometimes there's some good stuff happens too.
And I think it's, for me at least, like, these enemies in Deep Rock Galactic are much simpler than the ones in Jaws of the Lion.
They're going to make the same attack every round.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. They're going to move. They're going to try to get to. They're going to try to get you in range, and then going to attack you.
Yeah,
they're,
it's not having to remember how far they can move.
Their movement value isn't
going to
change every round. Their range isn't going to change every round. They're going to do the same thing, right? You can look at it and say, okay, I'm four spaces away from that guy. He's not going to be able to hit me unless he gets to activate twice before it's my turn again, mm-hmm. right? You can make
Which can happen.
But I think these guys, for me, they're more, like, these guys have more defined character than the guys from Jaws of the Lion.
And that's that's a great way to put it. There's more personality.
Right.
Each one has kind of his flavor to him. You're like, okay, this is very different. Whereas the difference between, you know, the zealots and the, I don't know, whatever's in Jaws of the Lion is, well, these guys do 3 points of damage, those guys do 2 points of damage. And that's the only difference. Other than that, they walk up and kind of punch you, and that's not terribly exciting.
Yeah, I mean, they do have their special attacks that come up eventually.
Randomly, that you have no way of predicting.
And in some games, they never actually came up.
Right, because they could just die before it gets to the deck, or it could be the 10th card, and you only went 9 rounds.
But let's be honest. I mean, there's cubes all over this table. With the dice, you sometimes you get a break. You manage to weasel out of something. Sometimes things don't go your way. Mm-hmm. And in a game like this, I know the whole world hates dice. And I know, Sam, you like to control dice. And in this game, you can do some of that. But when it comes right down to it, I mean, they add edge to a game.
They don't know
what's going to happen.
And the fun for me is the risk management, right? There's no risk management without dice.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I mean, I like dice, right? I like games that have dice, as long as the goal is to mitigate it, right? I don't want to sit and roll a die and hope I roll a 6, right? Yeah. And if I roll a 6 before you do, I win. But you add some complexity, you add some levers you can pull. That's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other extreme, where you're playing chess, I'm not huge into chess, right? You got to think too hard.
Everything's predestined.
There's a limited number of moves.
It's nice to have that element of randomness to mix things up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think they did a nice, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I came into this, I'm like, this probably isn't going to be my kind of game, but let's give it a shot. And I probably said that 2 or 3 times in the last few recordings, but and the first scenario was okay. It was not stellar. The second scenario was way more interesting and way more exciting, and I think kind of stuck a knife in the back of Jaws of the Lion, because I'm like, well, holy crap, this game, you're living by the seat of your pants.
Well, yeah, the difficulty of the situation scaled up.
Yes.
From, because like you, John, the first one, like I said, we steamrolled it.
It felt like a tutorial mission.
Right, it was complete tutorial mission. Mm-hmm. This was the baptism by fire.
Yeah, just
right.
Even
this, yeah. Okay. You know the basic rules. Here we go.
Yeah, right.
And within one turn, we're fighting.
Everything.
It just escalated.
Monsters pouring out of the walls.
Where did all of this come from?
Yeah, exactly. It just escalated really quickly.
Yeah, one monster in the corner that pumps out more monsters.
That I that having played the video game, I actually thought they captured the spirit of Deep Gun. 100%. 100%, where everything just goes completely sideways. What's a milk run?
Suddenly it goes,
life and death battle for survival in like 2 seconds. And that I was really impressed with how this game came together. Because like you, John, even though it's my game, first one I was like, all right, you know, this is okay.
Long plastic.
Like, it's nice production value. I think, all the pieces are great. People put a lot of love into putting this together. But the second scenario really sold me that I think they've done a very solid job here.
Yeah, I hate to keep harping on Jaws of the Lion, but even after the first mission, I knew this was my preferred game.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking about Jaws of the Lion, I don't know, last week after we recorded, and I was thinking about, I had mentioned Pathfinder the Adventure card game and how that is also a very boring game. I can't stand that one either.
Yeah.
But I had in my mind that these types of games just aren't for me for some reason. Like, something about cooperative, campaign mission-based games just don't do it. But
and how many dungeon crawlers do you need?
Dungeon crawls are different. I keep mentioning Tomb. Tomb is a completely different animal. It's a dungeon crawl. It's competitive.
That, how long has it been since we played Tomb?
We're going to play it very soon.
I
feel like we owe it to Chris to do it with him. But same time, I want to keep the joke rolling where Tomb doesn't exist to Chris.
Yeah, for background, we've probably played Tomb 8 or 10 times, and Chris just never seems to be here when we play it, so it's been sort of a running.
Well, he's
joke.
Not going to be here next week either.
Is he really not?
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah, he's going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
So, all right, we're totally playing Tomb next week. We're going to continue the dungeon crawl
We are awful people.
So, you mentioned
anyway. I had one more point I wanted to make real quick. So, I'm looking at the characters, and I'm, again, Jaws of the Lion, it's unfair for us to keep comparing the two to each other, but in this, the rub that you have with your character isn't like trying to optimally figure out your best sets of cards. It's managing your ammo.
And life points,
And life points. So, you're kind of managing life points in Jaws of the Lion, too. But I don't know. There was no... with Deep Rock, there's no efficiency puzzle.
I agree.
There's a resource management puzzle, but it's not.
Yeah, and the map comes into the game that you are working your movement. And the map is actually pretty crowded because you've got, chasms that people can't get across. You've got stalagmites sticking up that you need to work around, and all of these can be mitigated, but it's not big wide open swaths. So you are kind of figuring out how you're going to wiggle through it. And on this map, there were actually patches of the map that we couldn't reach yet, that we had to pound through the walls in order to get to these other caverns in order to get the pieces that we needed.
I imagine that'll be pretty typical for the missions here.
I would imagine.
And I think that's something they did a really good job with, because the map's crowded, and we all kind of had to, figure out a way to work through the bad guys and get to where we needed to go. But on that final turn, we all made it onto the pod, right? Steven did it because the bad guys aggroed on someone else and cleared his path.
Chased after someone else and gave him room.
I made it because I picked the pistol that I could shoot for free and got really lucky on the crappy die and killed 2 things.
And I had my rock and stone card that allowed me to pick John up, move him, and drag him onto the thing.
The map's kind of tight, but I didn't feel slow. Right?
No, you don't feel slow. But what it means is the baddies can get into a spot where, okay, so that's a project. I got to figure out how to get around him.
And honestly, that's part of their threat, I think, is that they're just taking up space. Yep.
Especially it's towards the end when it's like, look, I got to get my stuff and get out. And they certainly did that very well, I thought. So, the whole layout, the way the hex is laid out, and this is scenario two, and we used up like 2/3 or 3/4 of the play space here. So, I mean, they're not going to get a whole lot bigger than this. I'm going to be curious to see how threat level increases. The one thing I want to ask about, though, because I haven't read the rule book, do your characters get significant advancements, or do you get a better weapon, and that's more or less it?
So, per the base game, there is no campaign play. You start over with... You can choose between the two primaries. You can choose two secondary weapons.
Secondary weapons, okay.
Right? And that's it. There is a campaign mode where you play the missions figuratively back-to-back, right? Where you go, you finish mission one, and then you start mission two with the same health, the same ammo, and any weapon upgrades you collected.
Okay, so right? a little
bit. But you can also
of...
spend the gold that
yeah,
you...
Yeah, and right. you spend the gold that you collect to... build those resources back up.
Okay.
Right? So in that sense, yes, but you're not going to let... You don't have to, like, unlock new guns in the board game anyway. In the video game, you do.
You don't get a fireball spell at level five. Change.
And I've got at least one expansion. I think one expansion at home. The goo from above. So I could definitely see myself playing this again.
And I'm not mad they didn't include it. But it's sticking out to me just because they did such a good job of capturing the other parts that make the video game so much fun to play. Just the rising tension as you're looking at your available resources and the ticking clock that is the swarm of enemies. They captured that part great. But the other half of the game, of the video game, is that there's all these different weapons to unlock for each of the characters that let you do new and interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And... they didn't, there's not really a progression system here, right? Like, mm-hmm. the characters aren't going to level up. You're not going to change drastically between the first level and the final level. And I think that's fine, right? I like advancement in games, but I think that's fine because I think each character feels pretty distinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm not upset about having a cool thing I can do from the beginning, and it stays cool.
Yeah, and given the spirit of what you're playing, I think that works.
Yeah.
Is there's not, no part of this game is saying you need to level up 20 times. And,
right.
You know, it's this is a, you know, yeah, and crazy, gunfest kind of
thing. The distinction between the characters also feels, it feels more dynamic than, say, Jaws of the Lion. Because, I mean, the three of you are all just going to do damage somehow. You have a little different ways of how you're going to do it, and I can set you guys up to do whatever with my character, but, you know, with...
In Jaws of the Lion.
But in Deep Rock, you know, my guy is the driller. He basically is the juggernaut where he can run through walls, and, you know, he gets around by breaking down walls. I can't remember who it is, but pretty much everyone else has some way of crossing over chasms.
So everyone has a traversal tool, right? The driller is the drill, so you can go through the walls. I have a platform gun, so I can actually build platforms mm-hmm. that anybody can walk to go over the chasms. John was the scout. He has a grapple hook. He can just move over them.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed has a zip line he can set up that I think also allows other people
everybody.
To go.
Everybody can use the zip line.
Oh.
But
hasn't come in handy yet since I end up in massive brawls everywhere.
Right, but in exchange for that, you have the shield generator, mm-hmm. which just makes you and everyone who stands next to you invulnerable for a round.
Yeah. So, which also saved us.
Oh, that definitely saved us.
So we do have some unique features. Yeah, that,
and
that
then even like
our
primary weapons, like I get to lay down fire.
Yeah, like, I feel like the primary weapons
fire.
Are pretty distinct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I flame a spawn point so that when enemies spawn the next round, they either take damage or they flat out die.
Yeah.
And then
I have a couple
grenade launcher,
area of effect weapons.
Yeah. And
Ed has big guns. He has an auto cannon or
that allows a lot of shooting.
I can just shoot from a long way away.
And you've got a sniper rifle.
Yeah. So I mean, it's I find it interesting that, you know, in Jaws of the Lion, they purport like these characters are so unique and, you know, their decks are specifically tooled and whatever. It just didn't feel as unique.
The cult of asymmetry.
Yeah.
It felt like everybody could do... It's just every card felt similar to itself, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, this one lets me move or attack. This one lets me move or attack. And maybe the numbers are a little bit different.
That's the other thing. Like, never having to starve for movement.
Right? Just the fact mm-hmm. that, like, like you said, there's still resource management here, right? But on my turn, I know I have these cool things I can do, and I can do them X times before I need to resupply.
Right? More freedom. Yeah.
Right?
Just freedom but to do what you want to do.
Yeah, and it's different. You know, I'm not going to run out. I'm not going to have to burn my abilities slowly and become a weaker version of myself.
No, yeah, I mean, at the very end, one of the things that kept us in the game was that ability to just shoot for free, and the only thing you had to worry about was
using up your special your stuff ammo. At the end.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it's just, you know what? We need to blaze a hole through all these freaking glyph imps.
Every single card to figure out a way out of here.
Right.
I think the difference is that in Jaws of the Lion, if I want to do a special cool thing, I can do it once.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
until
then
you rest.
After that, I have to rest.
Or
right?
perhaps lose it for the rest of the scenario.
Right. Right. Whereas in here, if I want to shoot my grenade launcher or I want to shoot my pistol for free or whatever, I know how many times I can do that. And if I want to, like, burn through all of my ammo and make sure everything in that room is dead, I could do that, right? Mm-hmm. I could not move. I could take three actions and just blow things up.
And then if we have the gold, we can drop a resupply.
Right? We can resupply.
Exactly.
And then go do it again.
A little bit more.
But we'd also have to keep in mind that, like, you know,
while it's taking time,
and there's going to be more bad guys.
And time is of the essence in this
game. That round I spent killing things was a round I did not spend completing the objective. So I hope somebody else is working on that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That was a portion of the game I did not appreciate until it was getting really tense.
Right.
Suddenly it's like, we are about to lose the game. So for those of you that are unfamiliar, that as you're playing the game, There's a doom track. It's a pretty extensive doom track, but it also advances much quicker than you would expect.
Yeah, you flip an event card at the end of every turn, and sometimes the doom track goes up, and sometimes it spawns another wave of bad guys.
Right, and regardless, very quickly, the doom track was reaching zero, and we were still very far away from the extraction point.
And for what it's worth, we got lucky.
Yes.
That we found the fossil where we did. Because it could have been down here at the very far edge of the map where nobody got to.
That was spawning more monsters.
Yeah, it was spitting out monsters every single
turn. So it could have been down there. Yeah,
that would have been really nice.
We probably would have lost had that happened.
So we got some lucky breaks here. We got some awful breaks here, but we got some lucky breaks here too. Yeah. So it worked out pretty well.
And I should also mention for John and Steven, because you guys aren't familiar with the video game, there are different types of missions, right? The first two were the same, where we had to go and collect the minerals and the mystery things. But there are other types of missions that are a little more complicated, right? You have to go and you have to collect alien eggs, and when you collect the egg, it spawns a wave of bad guys, or you have to mine things out of the wall and bring them back to a specific space, which would mix things up a bit.
All right.
Okay. Also, like a quark mining.
Yeah, quark mining. I think there's a couple.
There's this little collector space.
Yeah, you have to haul stuff back to there.
There we go.
I think there's a couple where you have to hunt down and kill a specific bad guy who's like sequestered in a cave on the far side of the map.
Do we have to mine the liquid morkite?
I didn't see one of those, but I may have just missed it.
That might be in the expansion.
Well, it might be.
You got to build the pipelines out to liquid morkite sites and then guard the pipelines.
Mm. So there's some future. So it's getting late. Let's call the question. And this is going to be interesting because all four of us have played Jaws of the Lion for five scenarios, and two of us have played Adventure Tactics the whole way. So, Ed, it's your game. What do you think?
I think you won because you saved John's life.
So. Yes.
Leave no dwarf behind.
Well, I was the first one in the ship, so.
That's negative points.
No. I ensured that we.
Especially when you said suckas on the way by.
Right.
I ensured that we had victory in the back.
I've played with enough drillers. I was just glad there wasn't like C4 waiting on the drop pod ramp for me. Because that's happened to me. You know, you get the ramp, the explosive goes off, and the doors close. And you go, aw.
The drillers are the psychopaths.
So. Yeah, well.
Saying that as a gunner.
I like scout.
Got
to go fast.
I'd say this is a rock solid 7.
And stone.
And stone 7. Rock and stone 7. No, we've covered it all already. I think it captured the spirit of the video game extremely well. I think it really got a great balance between the tension, you know, with never knowing exactly what was going to happen the next player's turn, right? You could be inundated with enemies, or you might get lucky and someone gets a new upgrade. I think it balanced everything really well. Rock solid 7.
All right.
So this is easy for me. This is totally a 7. Like,
real hard. Real hard to come up with that.
This is a 7. So I'm gonna be completely honest, completely blunt. Ed, the first time you said, "Hey, I've got this game that I got off of Kickstarter," I rolled my eyes because Chris does this to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
And Kickstarter,
and the K word.
Kickstarter, you know, it's really hit or miss, and it's mostly miss.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not really excited to put this on the table. I'm glad we did, because this was a lot of damn fun.
And I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I mean, this... I wish we'd been playing this the last 4 weeks instead of Jaws for the Lion.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was something we had to do. I'm glad we got to this. I'm glad I know that it's available, because, you know, on the nights that Chris isn't around, or, you know, just in the nights that we're in a mood for a co-op game, I think this is going to fit the bill, and I'm looking forward to exploring this one more.
Exploring. He got his it. In.
Yeah.
Sam. Mining. Now, Sam, you've played all three.
You want me to rank them?
No.
You want me to say which one I'm going to play?
You've got the background. So what do you think of this, given that you've been playing Adventure Tactics been playing Jaws of the Lion recently?
This is more fun than either of those other two games. Hands down, rather play this than Jaws of the Lion or Adventure Tactics.
Right. Okay.
Adventure Tactics was fine. I enjoyed the character building.
He's calling it fine.
This game
I was
going to
say this game is fine.
That game is fine. This game is great.
Holy crap, that's high praise.
Yeah.
Another website we have to grab.
No, this was fantastic. They did a great job of making an experience that was, it's fun, right? It's fun to roll the dice and kill monsters and feel the tension as things keep running onto the board, and you have to wonder, like, okay, so I'm going to try and hold this line here, and I'm going to hope that the rest of the team does something helpful, and they're kind of running into some problems, and I feel bad about that because I'm over here, but if I didn't go to the side of the map, like, we'd be getting swarmed from this angle, and there's a lot to think about, but it's tactics, right? It's fun. It's like, okay, I'm going to try and do this, and I hope the dice come out in my favor.
Now, you have to effectively split the party.
You do, right? You have to affect the party.
You have to cover ground.
But you also have to...
You also have to cover each other's butts.
Yeah, you also have to be close enough to support each other, because if you don't, you're going to draw the Cave Leech card, and it's going to murder you because you're on your own.
There's a bit of a buddy film in this, isn't
there?
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah,
And I was very impressed with how well they captured the spirit of the video game and turned it into something that's fun to play as a board game and really hits the same notes. They did a fantastic job, and I would love to play this again.
Yeah.
It is a very strong 7.
Cool. All right, John, what do you got for us?
The problem with that is, like, next week other people are going to show up.
Right. We won't have 4 people.
I mean, like, so next week again, Chris is out of town.
Right. We were expecting Cody today.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't make his car broke down.
So.
Well, he can watch.
Like, if he weren't here, we'd had 5, which is.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's curious. We've been doing a lot of this sort of game recently, and it's not like have been out searching for them. They just sort of kind of fell in our lap, didn't they? And that's fine too. And I think each has some strengths. The Adventure Tactics, I really enjoyed the character development, and that was a very important part of that game.
It was much more
of a Dungeons and Dragons kind of game, where you're building a wizard, or you're building a cleric, or you're doing something like that. And I think it carried that part very well, and it provided some dynamism in the opponents that you had to deal with. I think Jaws of the Lion has some innovation, particularly in how it it is laid out onto the table and how it executes. I have some arguments with its the way they implemented some of their materials, I think, isn't particularly strong. But I think a lot of games are going to be looking at that, and presumably Gloomhaven as well, for how to just assemble a game.
I think I did see that they had released that sort of book for Gloomhaven.
So right. Gloomhaven, the regular game, has tiles that like you this. Place. You build the maps.
Okay.
Jaws of the Lion, in an effort to reduce the cost to bring it to that mass market price point, they mm-hmm. use the map book.
I think the map book is a great idea.
I think the map book is great.
Yeah, and halfway through playing Deep Rock here, I sat there and thought, could you do this in a book? It would have to be a huge book, and then it wouldn't fit in any reasonable size
box.
It'd have
to be huge, and to get the mystery caves, you'd still have to have tiles that you flip over. Yeah, you'd have to have
things that would overlay.
And frankly, actually, I'm not even sure you could, because a large part of this game is the way the hex board lets you represent the cave walls that the dwarves can dig through.
Right.
Yeah, and you have to put pieces in.
And I don't know.
You would still have the blank
hexes. You'd still have the blank background.
That you would... But yeah, you would still need like tiles to put on to.
And
represent.
I feel like at that point,
I didn't mean to take us down that particular route.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah,
honestly.
I think the way they implemented Deep Rock Galactic is very good. So I
wasn't thinking that. I think the books are stupid.
Oh, fair enough.
I hate having a book in the middle of the table.
This game is not doing this. Deep Rock Galactic, I kind of mentioned the names because we're talking three different games, or at least I'm talking three different games. Does not have the character development. But I don't think it matters in this game, because there's a, you know, let's just go kill things sort mm-hmm. of aspect mm-hmm. to this game. That, you know, if there was a big story read at the beginning of this, you'd be like, enough of that. Let's just go kill things.
No, this is very straightforward.
In you go, and it's like a video game.
We go mine
the
stuff.
Screen comes up, and you're off to the races.
It has an arcade feel to it, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Robo Rally that's sort of just beyond the edge of my control.
Yeah,
sort of
kind
of
got a Space Hulk feel to it too.
A little bit. Yeah. Yep. Well. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, Space Hulk is a little more tragic. This is a little more adventure-y, but no, I agree with what you're saying.
Beer and pretzels, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Although you
don't. Much more dwarven.
Yeah. Speaking of somebody who was,
beer and
was
beer.
Drinking some beer and whiskey here while we were playing, I'm like, I need to keep my head together at least a little bit, because there's some action going on in this game. So I really like this. This is a very, very strong 7 as far as I'm concerned. I'd love to get in on this one again. And like I said, I did not come to this game thinking this was going to be my thing. And afterwards, I mean, the fact that I think to a certain extent it kind of surprised all of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign, because we're kind of old, crotchety people. We've played a lot of games.
Well,
and
we
an
are.
Awful lot of stuff.
I don't feel old or crotchety.
Sam is young and naive.
He's still a green beard. Is that what?
Green beard.
We're old and crotchety. But
that said, I wanted to play this game. I didn't necessarily have high hopes for it.
No, neither did I. My game, I was like, this could be complete garbage.
It's just, you know, it's a Kickstarter that came with a lot of plastic.
Yeah. And that's usually not a good sign.
I mean, the track record on those is never...
That's normally not a good sign, but I was very pleasantly surprised.
And mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, I grabbed the Scout because I thought it was a really nice color blue on the board. I said, hey, I'll play the blue character this time because that's a great color blue. And it turns out I was a Scout who kind of is really good at running. I mean, that's fundamentally what he does. He runs around, and that turned out to be a lot of fun. So,
and for just grabbing it, I mean, you came through. You went back into the depths of the caves that nobody else could get to without us taking the time to set up a system.
Yeah. Well,
after you open the first monster closet and unleashed.
You could just...
Yeah, okay, you guys deal with this. I'm heading the other way.
Yeah, so I went upstairs to put my daughter to bed, and I was like, guys, go ahead and, you know, play my character by committee
and
until
was
I
like
get back.
One turn. It wasn't
and
like
I come back down into the cellar, and I look at the board,
and
I'm like,
all
what
hell has
the
broken and loose?
Did just happen?
Yeah, you just opened up that
I'm like,
cave
all right,
and
cool,
left.
I'm like, cool, let's go, and just started murdering
well,
things.
He would have been dead.
Lit the flamethrower, and off you went. So, no, I was, like I said, very pleasantly surprised. I'd love to do this again next week. I guess we're meeting here again. That would be great. If you guys want to bring something else out, yeah, I'll give that a shot too. But like I said, as Kickstarters go, I'm not a big fan of Kickstarter. This one, I think, just really, really nailed it. So
this was great. And I think it's worth saying, I think, that we all like audibly had a really good time here.
Yes.
Right. We were all like engaged and
yeah, there was none of that going heads down trying to figure out what the best move is. Right. It's like, you know what?
There must be some way to optimally.
I've got a flamethrower. I'm going to throw fire it and just.
Right. And I think a part of that is that the turns are fairly snappy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Like I can pay attention to what Ed's doing because even if he's on the other side of the board, he's going to roll some dice and something cool could happen. Whereas in Jaws of the Lion, he's going to spend.
You don't even look at each other's cards. Right. It's like.
You don't even watch each other's turns.
What did you do? Okay, great.
I mean, to an extent, it doesn't even matter how long he takes because I know it's not really going to be particularly interesting for me. So my brain just shuts off. Whereas this, I'm like, oh, is he going to be able to kill those bugs? If not, it's you know, like 30 seconds later, it's going to be my turn.
Well, and he's putting on a show. Even if you're on the far side of the board, you want to watch because something interesting is happening. Right. Yeah. There, so
throwing giant firebombs at people.
Yeah.
So all right. Deep Rock Galactic.
Yep.
Check it out. I think I went and checked the Kickstarter page just because I wanted to see how it did. And there's a link where you can buy it in retail. So pretty sure you can get a hold of it.
I might pick this one up at some point. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just fair warning.
I might be picking up the expansions. Having not played the actual game after two years of sitting on my shelf.
Yeah. Well, we do have one expansion.
The Goo from Above.
Yeah. We'll have to look into what the other two do. All right, so that's it. Deep Rock Galactic.
Rock and Stone.
Rock and Stone. Buy some stickers.